This is an Asian Pop Radio podcast. Hear more by subscribing to Asian Pop Radio on iTunes or head to asianpopradio.com to see more.
Hello and welcome to another Asian Pop Radio podcast. Jay John here, and it's been a little while, but Travis is with me as co-host today.
Hey, hello, Tom. Everybody. How are you? I'm good.
Yeah. And we're here for one very important reason. Someone returning to the studios after 5 years, apparently. It's Olivia Foy. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. This screen in front of us is just a little bit intimidating, but I can't move it. But I know you're there. And we've got you on camera, so I'll remember what you look like later. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great.
You've been very busy, haven't you?
Yes,
I have. Uni and no doubt work and yep. Making music.
Yep.
How do you find time to look so pretty?
Thanks.
No, it's a legitimate question. We need to know.
You don't have to answer. For a little bit of a refresh, can you remind us how long you've been working on your music and when you got started?
So I've been working on music for quite a while, but I'd never actually settled on my current style, which is country pop, for those who don't know. I never settled on that until maybe 3 or 4 years ago. But before that, you guys know me, I was very into Asian pop and K-pop in particular.
You grew out of it. We haven't.
The EDM princess.
Not quite. I mean, I still do enjoy a bit of K-pop here and there.
Who do you like these days?
I wouldn't say...
Or more of the classics still.
I don't know. Yeah, I still do listen to a lot of older stuff that I was into like 5 years ago.
That's cool.
Bit of Super Junior and...
Yeah. It was just the 10-year anniversary of Big Bang's Last Farewell. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. One of the best Big Bang songs ever. And I don't think anyone else remembers what that song was.
Oh, no.
You're looking at me like
no, I don't know what that is either. Although one of my friends, she went to Korea recently for exchange. She went to a Big Bang concert, which was
So did we, but it was in Melbourne.
That's true. Actually, we've seen Big Bang and then G-Dragon.
I didn't go to G-Dragon.
Well, I did. You missed out.
I didn't. I've already seen him.
Well, right. Once is enough.
Yeah.
Wow. True VIP over there. Okay. So has music always been a passion for you? Have there been times where... Because, like, whenever someone's got a passion, it's hard to stick with it. It's really tiring. It's exhausting work. And, you know, often it sort of goes by the wayside and then life takes over. Have you had that moment with music or have you just sort of been immersed in it all the way through?
I definitely had a bit of that moment. Like growing up, I took piano lessons, singing lessons, did flute, guitar, drums, like trombone. I did a bit of everything, really.
So but you're basically a marching band.
pretty much. And I was always very involved in the, you know, school band and
was
choir.
Was that by choice or was mum behind you telling you what to do?
No, actually, no. She was like, why are you doing so many instruments? I think you should cut back.
Right,
so,
wow. Yeah.
So by the end of school, I think I was only taking, flute, piano and singing.
So can we call you classically trained?
I wouldn't go so far to say that. I mean, I was never really that good at practicing my instrument, so I wouldn't say I got very good
classical
at it.
Influences.
Yes.
Is that why the EDM went down the toilet?
Yeah, but then when I went to uni, well, the first time I went to uni, I did want to do music, but at the time it wasn't really an option.
Yeah. What did you start with for uni? What path did you go down?
So I did a science degree. Initially, I wanted to do engineering. That didn't really work out for me.
Oh.
So I ended up majoring in psychology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Cool.
Yeah.
Look at you. You're so young and you've done all this stuff. Okay. So who were some of your idols then?
Growing up, definitely Taylor Swift when she was still country. Like she was my biggest idol.
Yeah.
I think so far she is the artist that I've seen the most in concerts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because she's come here quite a few times,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
you saw her in Melbourne when she's been here or you've seen her overseas?
No, just in Melbourne.
Yeah?
Yeah. But
how many times have you seen her then?
I think I've only gone once to each of her tours. So yeah. What's that?
Are you like first album Taylor Swift? The only song I have at my house is that when I'm only me when I'm with you. Do you know that one?
Making stuff up.
I'm only me when I'm with you.
Yeah. Like full country first album stuff, like before Love Story. Like say 2007.
I don't think that's the name of one of her songs, is it?
I think it is. I'm only me when I'm with you.
Or am I not a big enough fan? I don't even know.
I only know the title because it's the only song I have of hers.
Oh. Stick to AKB48, Trav.
I will.
Wow. Okay. So Taylor Swift, who else?
Yes. Right now, I really like Kelsey Ballerini.
Okay.
Don't know if you've heard of her.
I don't. So who's that?
So she's a massive artist in country right now. Her song Legends is like number one on country radio in the States. So,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah. She's coming to Australia next month. I'm actually going to see her in Sydney.
I guess the fan base for country music's growing again in 2018, isn't it? It sort of comes and goes, but more and more people are getting more interested in country music again, probably because of people like Taylor Swift. Like, I know she's moved away from that a bit, but that interest there for a younger generation, it's back again, isn't it?
And also because the style of country, it's changing. So it's a lot more pop influence and, some EDM stuff in there too. There have been some collaborations where they've been rappers.
Yeah, I've heard hip-hop country.
Yeah.
I've seen a doco on this one guy and he's like selling his own CDs out of the back of cars.
It was one of the earliest ones quite a few years ago was when Nelly teamed up with Tim McGraw, I think it was.
Oh, okay.
I think it was a Tim McGraw
over and over again. Like, yeah, I think it
was. And like when they first decided that they would do that country / R&B hip hop kind of collaboration, like people just said they were crazy.
No, because Nelly's from the country.
Yeah.
So he's probably grew up listening to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. What motivates you to keep going?
What motivates me?
It's hard work.
Yeah, I know. It is. I think it's just because I love it so much. There's really nothing I love more than making music. So that's enough
to keep
me going.
That's all you really need, isn't it? Because, you know, if you're not loving it, it's kind of hard to keep motivated.
Definitely.
All right. Well, let's look at more your sort of music tech at school. So you majored in music technology at uni.
Yeah.
Did your understanding of music change dramatically in that time?
Oh, definitely.
Because music can be really, like when you're younger and you start songwriting and this and that, not really understanding the dynamics of it.
Yeah.
It can be really from the heart, can't it?
Mm.
And then all of a sudden it becomes this more technical thing.
Yeah. So before I studied music, I was still writing songs and recording it myself, but of course it was nowhere near to the standard it is now, and I had no idea what I was doing. I was using like GarageBand, which comes free on Macs. So I was using GarageBand, just chucking a lot of stuff on and hoping it sounds good, and it never sounded good. But going to uni, studying music tech, I've learned so much about proper recording techniques, and we use different programs, like Pro Tools, Ableton, Logic, stuff like that.
I can relate to that.
Yeah.
You got Pro Tools at home?
No, I just used to write more bars than you could fit into the segment. And I used to like the levels were all out of whack, and I ended up using Fruity Loops, even Windows
FL.
Even Windows Media Recorder I'd use.
That's what the industry people call it, FL.
You can't knock FL. One of my mates, he's an EDM producer, he swears by FL.
Well, he still uses it.
Yeah, and he's doing really well. I think a lot of the big producers, like EDM producers, still use FL.
I don't think they like to admit it, but
no.
I think they like to all say, I got Pro Tools.
A lot of people we've interviewed on Asian Pop Radio, especially in Singapore, and a lot of these guys that are at home mixing things up themselves, I hear them say GarageBand all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, maybe that's probably where they get started to get noticed. I mean, you've got to work on virtually next to nothing for a budget.
Mm.
So even just buying one of those, you know, authentic programs is kind of out of reach for a lot of people, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
So does studying music take the fun out of making music, or is it completely the opposite?
I guess it really depends. So when you're forced to write X number of songs in, you know, a semester, and you're really stressed about it, and you're like, oh, everything just sounds terrible and I have to do it for the sake of doing it, then I guess it does take a bit of the fun out. But I think overall it's still pretty fun. Like when you look back and you're like, oh, actually that song was really good, I'm going to continue working on it after, which is what I've done. So
I guess like any career path, you kind of run the risk of that, isn't it? You get into it because you think it's hopefully, you know, if it's not the money, it's because you would enjoy that line of work.
Yeah.
And then you get to being at a desk day in, day out, and there's probably a good chance you're not actually going to do anything that you thought you'd be doing. Like someone said to me the other day, oh, you're at work in radio. How often do you come in the studio on the microphone? I'm like, I actually haven't been in the studio for 3 months. Is I just do paperwork? But like, I don't know. You never really know what you're going to get, do you?
Yeah, no.
Okay, so you are an independent musician.
Yes.
You fall into that category. Yes, how hard is it to get exposure?
Oh, it's very hard to get a following. Everything's about social media these days and like how many followers you have, what reach you get.
I used to have to do that for us.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I kind of quit.
We gave up.
Oh, I was about to say, can you give me
really
some tips?
It, if they really want I can it,
give
they'll
you,
find it.
I can give you tips off air, but yeah, I'm just not doing it anymore for the station.
It's got to be controversial.
Oh, okay.
That's what it is. Collaborate. But what kind of, yeah, what sort of things do work for you? Like, how do you get your music seen and heard?
So
more importantly, heard.
So I mostly just promote a lot of stuff on Instagram and Facebook. And I tell all my friends and family about it and try to get them to share it as much as they can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they support you as much as they should?
Oh, no, definitely. Definitely. My dad is like my number one fan. Look at his good. Facebook wall and every post is about me. A bit awkward.
That's cute.
That's cute. So let's talk about some of your gigs. Like, have you, you know, where have people had a chance to see you on stage live in the flesh?
Well, the last time I performed was actually my third year recital.
Right.
Last year. As for gigs, at the moment, I'm still trying to put a band together.
Okay, yeah.
So it's just me and a bassist at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, still looking for everything else.
Well,
hopefully that comes along within the next year and then I'll definitely be getting to gigging.
So if you get out there and not tell people that you're looking for particular types to join the band,
yeah,
you reckon people are a bit shy about it? They think, oh, I don't know if I can contact them. Like, maybe I'll just sit back and think about it and then, I don't know, like, because it's kind of... confronting for someone to put their hand up as well, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I did get a few offers, but funnily enough, all of them were from bassists.
Oh, okay.
And last time I checked, I didn't need like three bassists. So.
bass guitar is life, but.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So, I think it is a little bit intimidating, especially when you don't know what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah.
It's like... a lot of people, they expect, oh, I need to do 2 gigs per month.
Right,
or
yeah.
I expect to be paid this much money.
Yeah, and yeah, yeah.
It's all a bit, you can't really say for sure in music.
And, you know, you seem really friendly on Instagram, but in real life, maybe you're a big diva. Maybe
yeah,
you just
maybe.
Like go into Mariah Carey mode.
Maybe.
Just like start demanding that shit, you know.
That's why you can't get an acoustic guitarist because you keep smashing them.
So you said earlier on that you are a big fan of Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
You've been described as Asian Taylor Swift.
Yes.
So do you like that comparison?
To be honest, considering how big Taylor Swift is, I do take it as a compliment. I think it is kind of funny. All of my uni friends, whenever they introduce me to someone and they're like, oh, what kind of music do you play? And they're like, oh, she's like Asian Taylor Swift.
Wow.
And they're like, oh, cool.
Well, she's just like Taylor Swift. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of like back in the day when Lady Gaga was really huge, about 2009, 2010, and the amount of people that introduced Asian pop musicians, like even Kiari Pomyupomyu and stuff, they'd say, oh, she's the Japanese version of Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Which, looking back, you're like, that is just not correct whatsoever.
No, definitely
but
not.
But it's like everyone needs to... I mean, you know, especially maybe here and in Western countries, but it's like everyone needs to compare to a Western musician when they're explaining what an Asian performer is. Isn't it a bit weird?
It is. I mean, to be fair, though, most of the Western world, they've got no idea about
It's like
the
a gateway.
Asian music scene. So the best that they can do is compare to someone that they actually know.
Yeah, everyone I know tries to, like, you know, jump in on Asian music, but, like, they always get the bands mixed up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're saying, like, you know, this is here. Is this the new AKB48 song, but it's like a Girls' Generation song from, like, 5 years ago? But they're just
and it's
clueless.
Like, one's
they're
Japanese,
trying.
One's Korean.
Yeah, they're trying, though. They're trying.
Yeah.
Putting that sort of Asian tag, like, on the front of everything. Like,
yeah.
Does that become a bother? Do you just want to be known for your craft and your ability without sort of people focusing on the background? Or does it not really bother you that much?
I mean, it doesn't bother me that much. It would be great if people were just like, oh, yeah, that's a really great song.
Yeah.
Like, catchy music. But also, looking at country music now, I don't think there are, like, any... Asian country music artists.
Yeah, yeah. You're not familiar with any?
No.
Yeah.
I think I've heard of one and she's not very big either. So
that's a weird situation to be, isn't it? Because you don't want to be sort of seen as the Asian country music singer. But then at the same time, it kind of is what can get you noticed.
Yeah.
You know? And I think maybe even Dami had that situation, right? Because everyone here was like, wow, this woman's got an amazing voice. Oh, she's from Korea. She looks Korean.
But she talks like a bogan.
Which was quite hilarious. And we love her for it. But after a while, it just became about her music, didn't it? Do you know what I mean? So, I don't know. It's like the initial interest there, you kind of just need it to fade away and then focus on the music maybe. Like,
we can fix this. We'll just call Taylor Swift the American Olivia.
Sounds good.
There you go. Yeah.
Done.
Sounds good. All right. I assume breaking into the country scene in the States is a bit of a challenge for anyone outside of the US. So what are some of the challenges you've faced to be seen or heard in that space, in the country music space?
Yeah, it is pretty hard. Like, country music in Australia is definitely nowhere near as big of a thing as in the States.
Yeah,
I know it is kind of a thing in New South Wales and Queensland and, you know, like country music festival.
Obviously. Are you contemplating attacking Tamworth?
I am, actually, yeah.
Because if you could do that.
A lot of people get their start in Tamworth, busking and entering the competitions there.
Yeah, that'd be like an awesome gateway, I reckon.
Yeah.
Because I think heaps of American, you know, producers in that rock there.
Maybe you can call Keith to see what he's doing. Maybe you can be his...
Or just get chummy with Nicole.
Support act or something.
Get chummy with Nicole and then just like, what, when he rocks up, just start belting him out.
Oh, dear. Okay, let's talk about your debut track, Kiss Me. Is it entirely your own work or did you have other people helping out with it?
So I wrote the track myself and I recorded most of the stuff in the studio at uni by myself. So, like, the drums, guitar, bass, vocals, etc. All of that is done by me. I'm not playing it. I mean, like, I recorded someone else playing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to make that clear. And then for the specialty instruments, I was having trouble finding someone.
Right.
You know, I don't think you'd...
Well, that's because you had to push all the basses, you know, aside to get to the person that could play those instruments.
So, like, the banjo and mandolin, not very common instruments around here.
Yeah.
So I went online and I found this fantastic site called Nashville for Hire.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's, like, all these professional musicians on this site from Nashville and you can just message them. And
they'll send you, like, a track.
Yeah, and you send them your music, you tell them what you want.
Can the internet do that?
Yes.
Wow.
It's like, it's amazing. You hire someone from the other side of the world.
Get on that web.
But one day I do hope to actually go to Nashville and record stuff in person.
Well, that's the aim. My family could email yourself there. Skip Tamworth altogether.
Okay, so what's the song about, if people haven't heard it?
So the song is pretty much about, let's just say, it's a girl who is very shy and then meets this boy and comes out of her shell. Yeah, and is no longer shy anymore.
Aww. Is it a true story? Is it based on a true story? Is it the story of your life, Olivia?
I mean...
Or is it fortune telling tonight's party?
Definitely not at tonight's party. I guess, I was pretty shy. I'm more confident now.
Yeah.
But the song's not to be taken, like, literally. Like,
okay,
It didn't exactly happen, but...
Speaking of songs...
Based on a true story.
Yeah.
Speaking of songs, have you ever recycled any of your old lyrics into your new style?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Or not so much into my new style, but I've recycled lyrics from previous songs.
So they're taken on a different form.
Yeah, because I had this one song and I really liked the verses, but the chorus just absolutely, it was trash.
Right. Well, thankfully, these days you don't really need a chorus because most songs that are on the radio now don't have a chorus. The bed just drops and the music plays for a bit and then they get back into the next verse.
That's the funny thing. That's actually really funny that you say that because the song that it turned into, it does have a pre-chorus and a build-up and then the chorus is just like a breakdown.
a big drop.
So that's really funny.
It's like
that you
someone
say
that. Was in their bedroom one day making a song and they're like, look, I'll get back to the chorus for all of these songs. And then at the end of it, they're just like, you know what? Who said there needs to be a chorus?
Yeah.
And then that's where it all starts.
That's where Fruity Loops comes in.
At my day job, like, I get lots of music sent to us at the radio station and constant music covers and this and that. For Asian pop radio, obviously, when we want to support Asian musicians of all backgrounds, all genres, I find it really hard when you get that mainstream music distribution through from like Sony and Warner and all that kind of stuff to figure out who is of an Asian background. And that, you know, that's what we want to support, because a lot of the times I find that Asian musicians will often have a music, like a CD cover that doesn't show their face, or they'll put big thick glasses. I'm kind of thinking back to the days of like Seven when he tried to go mainstream in the US and he did the collaboration with Lil Kim and he wore big glasses the whole time. And I kind of sense it was kind of, he was trying to make himself more Western. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It bothers me, and I'm not an Asian musician. Do you feel like that can be quite a challenge for Asian musicians, like to be more, to have more wider appeal? They need to like kind of Westernize themselves. Does that make sense? Is that a weird question to ask?
It definitely makes sense. Just because, looking at the music industry now, like apart from the really diehard K-pop, J-pop fans, most of the general public would not be interested, and they'll say, "Oh no, it's not my thing."
Yeah.
And it is a bit intimidating, I guess, in Western countries. They're kind of the minority or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it's just not really seen as the norm.
Yeah.
But I don't think anyone should try to hide it. Like, if you look at my...
You think in 2011?
Whoa.
That is the second time I've done that this week. Oh, I think it's 2011. God. Oh, my God. In 2018, it shouldn't be a problem, should it?
No, definitely not.
Like, the uniqueness of it should be something to be celebrated, like...
Yeah, definitely.
Note to past self, also okay in 2011.
It's like, maybe I know that we shouldn't be having this conversation in 2018. Oh. Okay. Do you think your work in the country music scene is going to challenge some of those misconceptions about who should be a part of it?
Definitely. Like, when most people think of country music, they think...
pickup truck.
Yeah. For the guys, it's pickup truck, beer... Hot girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... And then for the girls, I think tall, thin, blonde.
Yeah.
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 But...
Shouldn't be that way.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And even if you look at country music now, it's not really that way. It's changing. Like, yeah, it's not all about that kind of stuff.
Can you think of any other country stars that are doing well that have made the move to Nashville, you know, outside of the US, like from any other countries? Not necessarily Asian countries, but... From Europe or?
Not that I know of overseas, but I know. Do you know Morgan Evans?
I'm familiar with the name.
Okay, so Morgan Evans, he's Australian. He's actually married to Kelsey Ballerini.
Oh, there you go.
Funnily enough. So he moved to Nashville and he's released two singles this year and they've done massively well.
Wow.
I've even heard one of them on the radio here.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, what? A country song on the radio?
Yeah.
Yes. Really fantastic. Well,
that's when you know you've made it, when the local radio station is playing country during the day.
Yep.
They'll be playing shitloads of it soon. Shania Twain's coming.
Yes.
Look out.
Okay. Your album, you're working on an album as well? Like the EP is out now, but...
The single is out now and I'm working towards an EP. So an album.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe in the future, but... Not right now.
Okay, yeah. So focus on the EP, see what happens, see if people like it, then plan B after that.
Yeah.
Not plan B, the next step.
Yeah.
Well, I reckon the song's amazing. I think the production on it is really great. Your voice is just stunning, but we already knew that about you. So I really hope you have lots of success with the song, and we'll do everything we can to encourage other people to play it and share it around. So
thank you so much.
Thank you for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me.
Enjoy your party tonight.
I will.
Being the designated driver. And when you've got the next song all down and you want to share that with us, come back in.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
I'll put it straight to number one.
You've just heard an Asian Pop Radio podcast. Hear more by subscribing to Asian Pop Radio on iTunes or head to AsianPopRadio.com to see more.